Speaker is Patty Kissinger. Patty's going to talk about Check It, a Seek, Test, and Treat pilot study of methods for community recruitment of hard-to-reach men for chlamydia and gonorrhea screening and expedited treatment. Patty.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for coming to my talk and keeping in the theme of male screening, which I love. So the first of all, oh, you don't have a screen here. Okay. Okay, so first of all, everybody knows about chlamydia, so I probably won't go over that again, but just to say that it causes a lot of reproductive health issues, that most people are asymptomatic, and so that screening is really essential. The problem is, if you screen in a population, studies have shown that you can reduce the chlamydia morbidity by 56%, but that's only if people come to the table and get screened, or come to the clinic and get screened. So that is a big problem. So we know that we've had some interventions that have been around for a while. First of all, the infertility prevention program has been around for several decades. The recommendation by CDC to screen sexually active women annually, sexually active women under the age of 25. And also HEDIS became, chlamydia screening rates became a HEDIS marker in 2000. Yet there are still no recommendations for men, and we're still not seeing really high rates of screening among women. We do know that chlamydia is, there's a huge racial disparity for chlamydia. So despite these decades of interventions, we're seeing that in African American women, the rate of chlamydia is 22 times higher than for Caucasian women. So these data came from NHANES. And just to see the disparity there, you can see that the black women are represented in the blue line on top and the white women on the bottom. You can see that there is somewhat of a decrease in Caucasian women, yet in African Americans it's either staying the same and sometimes increasing. We do know that also that chlamydia clusters geographically. You can see the spot map here. You can see the hot spots, notably in the south. So you'd say thank goodness for Mississippi and thank goodness for Louisiana if you're a chlamydia worker. But we have got a lot of it in the south. It also clusters by age, and so as we were just speaking, that it's most highest for women in the 15 to 19, the highest for men in the 20 to 24. But we know that 15 to 24 years of age accounts for 71% of all chlamydial infections. So men are the reservoirs, and I could never really understand because I was part of the male screening, and I could never figure out why people can't figure that out. Men are the reservoir. These are the people that are infected that continue to infect women. So why aren't we caring about them? So I'm seeing that some people are. It's a cost-effectiveness issue, I'm sure. But adolescent men, particularly young men, don't seek care. They're usually healthy, and there's no need for them to go in. So we need innovative approaches to go out and get the men, to get them tested. And so this is based on social network theories and how core, you might call them high-frequency transmitters, you might call them cores, but they do cluster in areas. And so if you can find these, the thought process is if you can find these high-frequency transmitters that are clustered in areas and treat them and their partners, then maybe you can make an impact in the community of women, where morbidity is more important. So the purpose of this particular study is what we don't know is really how to do that. So the purpose of this study was to look at two different methodologies for seeking and testing men using respondent-driven sampling, which is an incentivized, it's based on the respondent-driven sampling. It's an incentivized methodology for recruiting people into a study. And then event-based sampling, so that's more of you go to an event and then you screen people there. So we took men 15 to 25, and maybe we should, now I'm thinking with the other talk, maybe we should have gone a little bit older, but 15 to 25 who had sex with a woman. So we were mostly interested in heterosexual or at least bisexual sex, and were recruited from high poverty areas. So if you overlay, unlike your data, Sarah, our data, if you overlay poverty and the chlamydia rates, they're like right on top of one another. So we decided to do that. So we looked at areas of high pockets of poverty, and we engaged in these two different types of sampling methods. The participants were given a small incentive in the case of event-based sampling. They were given $20 just to fill out a survey. And in the RDS, they were given $20 plus an additional $10 for each person that they recruited, up to four members of their sexual network. So the methods of recruitment, as I mentioned, event-based, where we tested on-site. And we had sign-up lists, and people could test and get it tested immediately. Now, it wasn't a point-of-care test, but so they did have to give us contact information and go back and give them the results. And respondent-driven sampling, where we found certain seeds, and then we asked them to recruit their friends, and then we asked their friends to recruit their friends. So we did. First thing we did to do this is we mapped. And as you can see, it looks like there's a hot spot right in the middle of the center of New Orleans, but it's not really the case. If you look at morbidity data, it's mostly because a lot of the men are in prison, and also there was our charity hospital there. So that's you can't use that data. That's not good data. So that's why we decided to go with poverty. Okay, so we found it took a long time to get partners. That's the first thing, is to get engaged people in partnerships. And so we used churches, we used the midnight basketball games, we used a number of other different community-based organizations, and it took some time to get them involved. Participants were screened for both chlamydia and gonorrhea. We were mostly interested in chlamydia, but because it's bundled, we looked at chlamydia as well. We also gave them a computer-assisted survey. We asked individuals, anybody who ended up being positive, we partnered with Walgreens. Not that I'm endorsing Walgreens, but we partnered with them, and they allowed us to, if we sent a script, that they would have medicine available for partners, sort of what Matt Golden did in Seattle. And so we had medication waiting for them. And then we did a time motion study so that we could kind of look in kind of a crude manner at the cost of this, because, of course, it would be very important that it's cost effective. We used these coupons, and so the coupons could be given physically or they could be given electronically, which helped a lot because some of the people knew their partners only maybe their first name and had their phone number, but they didn't have anything else, so they could send the coupons electronically. We also had this is a little bit program science-y because we developed things as we went along, and this is one as a software that we developed where a person could tell us their partners. By IRB, we couldn't go and talk to those partners, but he could send a message. So we put in his phone number and their phone number, and he gave us all the phone numbers he wanted, and then we click that, and they get a little message saying, hey, we named the guy Jay-Z. This is Jay-Z from Treme, which is an area of New Orleans. I did this program. You should try it, too. So we also tried another initiative, which is also not the first time we've done it. I mean, it's been done. We decided to that as an incentive to the barbershops to give them a coupon to say get a free haircut, and you can get a free haircut if you get chlamydia tested. And that worked. It was very symbiotic. Both people liked that. Okay, so the results. Very quickly, we also found out that with the respondent-driven sampling, we got dead chains right away. You can't do just men. Men won't recruit just men. But if you put a cute little girl in there, they'll recruit. So we ended up adding women into the chains, and so that elongated our chains greatly. But we were able to get 123 men in event-based. We got 76 men in respondent-driven sampling. And you can see they were largely African-American. They were about 20 years of age. They engaged in substance abuse, and most of that illicit drug use was marijuana use. They had high volumes, lots of numbers of sex partners. Some of them engaged in sex with men, but we were trying to look at heterosexual mostly, or at least bisexual. They had an average female partners in the past 60 days among men in general was 2.8 and 3.0 for RDS, and among those who were infected, it was 4.0 and 10.9. So I can speed it up a little bit. Anyway, so here also you can see that they did not have much access to health care. Many of them had never been tested for HIV, for STDs, and most of them had not been tested in the last year. So the comparison, here's the kind of the most important slide, is that when you look at everything, all the factors that we looked at, yield, chlamydia positivity rate, number of positive index persons treated, number of contacts treated, staff time, incentive costs, and then we did a very perfunctory cost analysis. You can see that event-based sampling was much better than respondent-driven sampling in all of these cases. And we're going to have to refine all of this, but this is a quick and dirty look. This is just the example. You could also see that even though we didn't really want the women, they were sort of a nuisance to us, it turns out that they were highly infected too. And so it would be also a very good way to get at women who hadn't really, and many of them had never been tested or hadn't been tested recently. This is our RDS chain. You can see not all the chains provide, there wasn't morbidity in all of the chains, but some of them were highly infected. So in discussion, as you saw, the cost was really high. It's very high, but that's because we haven't refined the program very well. And I think with if you refine it much more, and you maybe do CBPR, like community-based participatory research, partner with more community-based people that can actually do this more efficiently, it would be actually much cheaper. And if we, what we're trying to get is the average claim cost of $43. If you can get it under that, then you've been effective. Partner treatment could be better. We got very low rates of partner treatment, mostly because these guys didn't know their partners and didn't really care about those partners. Most of them were one-night stands. So you were probably, even in the best-case scenario, you weren't going to get those partners. They named all of those partners, so if you did EPT, they probably wouldn't even name those people. So whether this approach would translate into reductions in morbidity in women is unknown. What percentage of the male population do you actually have to get to affect the morbidity rate in women? And also, we need to refine our models more. So in conclusion, RDS probably better than, event-based sampling, that's a mistake. Event-based sampling is probably better than RDS in it yields higher rates of people getting infected or infection rates, and also is just more efficient on all the other indicators that we looked at. Community treatment facilities yielded high rates of treatment, but low for the partners. Making tests available in the community is possibly an effective way of getting at this high-frequency transmitters, and maybe if you get a certain percentage, you actually could make a dent in the morbidity rates that seem to be quite stagnant. Many thanks to my collaborators, acknowledgments to all of our community-based partners, and also to NIAID, who funded the study but does not endorse what's said in the study. Anyway, thank you very much for your attention. Another male screening friend.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. That was really interesting. I was just wondering if you could clarify, and I'm sorry if I missed it, whether you were doing the testing on site at these events or whether you were referring men to clinic-based testing venues?
Both. We started by just taking amassing names and then trying to come back. Does not work at all. You must be there. You must test them right away. And so the RDS, the respondent-driven sampling, was a little problematic because you would make 3-4 calls before you'd actually get the guy. It's always best if you can get him right there on spot.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.